Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. This question properly belongs to Yaron Brook. I have no justification in taking it, but I did have one thought, so I'm stealing this. What should and can Republicans do to win their next battle with Obama, namely the debt limit crisis? I believe that the Republicans can win, but what they have to do is avoid the scenario of Clinton and Gingrich in the past, where Clinton threatens the Republicans with they'll bring close down the government, and the implication is disaster, and the Republicans then caved. I think they have to discredit the sky is going to fall argument loudly in advance. They should point out to the country, in my opinion, that even if the government does shut down, it has plenty of money to keep all the necessary and popular services going intact for however long it takes to resolve the crisis. While Obama's predicting all the disasters, we can't give you your Social Security, etc., we can't pay the debt, the Republicans should give examples of how many programs and grants costing how much money can be suspended for months while leaving intact anything considered important or sensitive by the public, even given a protracted showdown. Now, the examples, well, you must know the examples. I have a New York Post, a few examples. You know, they just passed the bill for the hurricane, had $70 billion in pork unrelated to the hurricane. And here's just a few more I picked up out of the paper. $12.2 billion in tax credits for green energy. $430 million in tax breaks for Hollywood producers. $222 million for rum producers in Puerto Rico. $15 million for asparagus growers, etc. If you add it all up, and this is just, you know, a touch of a, it's not even the tip of the iceberg, it's the tip of the tip of the tip, you could keep the government going I don't know how long without raising taxes and without touching the debt ceiling. This is what they have to say. It would be actually a blessing if they closed down the government. Now, if the Republicans made clear that all of that is available and easily done, and Obama came back and nevertheless started on Social Security or the national debt, it would be clear that that is his choice and he would lose the public. At least that is my opinion. But after the last election, I don't think any political prediction of the short term of this kind is reliable, because I don't really know what's going on in the minds of this country or the two halves of this country. Should a man pay for dinner on a date? Does it matter? How do gender roles play into this issue? Well, I would think this way. Assuming that he invited her, he initiated the whole thing, then I think it would be sensible that he pay and that she would properly expect that. I think that's true even of a man to another. But if she invited and she wants to pay, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Or if I invited some younger person, say, and in the course of it, I found that they were poor, et cetera, et cetera. There was something I hadn't known, I would pay. Or suppose some student says, your work has meant so much, I have to buy you coffee. Some girl, I would say, okay. So it's not an absolute issue, but as a general rule, I agree that the man pays in a date and the woman does not. The reason for that, you'd have to go to Ayn Rand's theory of sexuality, specifically of male versus or in relation to a female. Paying for on a date would be an expression of male strength in relation to a woman. You have to see her for a discussion of that. But it would express itself in general protectiveness by men to women. So the same thing would be a man opens the door, he helps her with her coat, he calls the taxi. You know, even the custom of walking with a woman on the inside and the man on the outside on the pavement started as protection because the garbage used to be thrown out the window for the curb and hit the people on the outside. So that was an issue of male protectiveness. Now, of course, today that is denounced as evil, as male chauvinism, as insulting, etc. Women are the same as men and there should be no such difference. Well, I am not an egalitarian. I'm perfectly happy with the traditional ideas in this aspect of dating. In fact, if I asked a woman out and she hurried to pull my chair when I got up or she grabbed the check, my coat, etc. Well, I mean, leaving aside age, she might do that because she thought, you know, I was feeble-minded. But assuming, you know, a normal age, if she did all that, I would be, you know, surprised and emasculated, I would feel. I certainly would say that's it for her. What is the most common misconception about objectivism? Well, I'll give you, in a word, one for each branch. In metaphysics, materialism. In epistemology, dogmatism. In ethics, egoism interpreted as cutthroat. And in politics, social Darwinism. In other words, capitalism interpreted as the strong smashing the weak. If you got rid of those four, it would be a good start. At work, our boss provides us with free snacks. I usually take all of the tasty brown bread chips, all of the good trail mix stuff, and I eat the muffin, the muffin tops, leaving only the bottoms for the others. If my co-workers knew that it was me doing this, it would upset them. I know that this might not be in my best self-interest if they catch on, but am I in any way immoral? Well, obviously, I don't think it's very practical. Why don't you buy your own snack instead of raiding the communal one? Because I do think they'll be unhappy when they find out, and they must find out when they start to share notes. Oh, I didn't have this and I didn't have this. I wonder where they're all going. And then they see your waistline continuously expand. But morally, I think it is immoral because you have a implicit contract with your employer that you are to take your share of these goodies and leave the rest for others who are equally entitled to share. You were never designated as a preferred snacker. And that was obviously implicit in your being hired. So I would definitely think you should stop doing that. And it'd be less of a giveaway if you ate one whole muffin instead of three tops. If John Galt could broadcast the same speech, modified for context, to the entire U.S., do you think Obama would try and recruit him as Thompson did? If not, how do you think Obama would react? No, I don't think he would try to recruit him at all. Thompson, in my scheme, is D1, late D1. And therefore, within very definite limits, he is honest in these issues, in only this way. He recognizes that there is an economic disaster, that the country is an economic disaster. He recognizes that he and his group are helpless to improve the situation. And in some way, he wants to make things better. Maybe his motive is only political, But that's what he wants. Obama is very different. He is indifferent to economic welfare of the country. And that's shown by his, not only his indifference, for instance, to unemployment, but by his consistent application of policies such as destroying the rich, which would help employment. So he doesn't care at all and is quite happy to see the economy drop down like this. He is an egalitarian. He is a nihilist. Therefore, he doesn't want someone to take over and make things right. He wants to keep things bad and take out the people who would make it better. His ultimate goal would not be to use Galt, but to eliminate him. I'm deliberately using abstract words. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not accusing this man, but the egalitarian type. Use torture to not to get him to agree, but to get him to get rid of him. You know, government heads and government institutions change remarkably across time. FDR, for instance, I would put in the Thompson category. If one is in a relationship, is it morally acceptable to seek out others as long as one does not engage in any relation-type activities with them? Well, what do you mean by seek out? You mean you casually chat at parties and then find that you like each other? I wouldn't call that seeking. Or do you mean going on the internet, email dating, going to bars, asking your friends to bring up blind dates? If that's what you mean by seeking, then she certainly deserves to know about it. Because it's the kind of thing which, if she knew, she would end the relationship. And without her knowing, you are, in essence, lying to her. So the question is, why do you care about her? What is the nature of your feeling for her if you're eager to seek out somebody else? It sounds to me like you're holding on to her for sex, even though you have an opinion of her beneath the requirements of that, until you find somebody better. And that is not proper. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.